I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama always
said I'd be the chosen one. Welcome back. A superseding indictment filed against President Trump in his Mar-a-Lago classified documents case. Special counsel Jack Smith bringing down three more charges, alleging that the former president and a hotel manager tried to delete surveillance video at the Florida property. 56-year-old Carlos de Oliveira will appear in court Monday. He faces charges of lying to investigators about moving boxes stored at Mar-a-Lago. President Trump giving a statement to Fox News Digital, quote, "It's election interference at the highest level. The charges are ridiculous. This is prosecutorial misconduct used at a level never seen before. Our country is suffering from DOJ abuse," says President Trump.
Those are the words of Maria Bartiromo in this new superseding Trump indictment issued by Jack Smith, the special counsel, investigating President Trump and everything under the sun related to President Trump. Nothing about Joe Biden or Hunter Biden. The focus, obviously, is Trump. That's his duty, his job, his assigned mission. So I expect him to stick with that issue. But boy, does he continue to pile it on, and the timing continues to be more and more suspicious, does it not? Well, we thank you for joining us. Here we are, July 28, 2023. Reminding you, during the noon hour each day, Monday through Friday, we do a live stream. You can watch that live or pull it up later. You go to News Talk STL Facebook, News Talk STL Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Twitter, or you can use the same IDs to go to Rumble and find it as well, joining live or watching, listening later. And everything is then also available at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Glad to have you. So once again, we have additional charges filed on Donald Trump, and now targeting some of his underlings, some of his employees. This is obviously a pressure tactic. Sometimes it works. We all know that. When they're going after a mob boss, you're not going to get the mob boss to talk. You might not get the first, second tier of mobsters under them, but you go for somebody that has a fear and our reason to be speaking. Now, I know some of you are saying, did you just compare Trump to mob boss? No. I'm just talking about how these cases proceed. If I were looking at a mob boss, quite honestly, I'd be pointing to Joe Biden. But that aside, what does this mean, this superseding indictment? This indictment that Jack Smith filed, this, again, keep in mind, comes the day after the Hunter Biden deal that he made with the Department of Injustice, where they were going to let him come in, make a couple pleas, go forward, do no more wrong, and we're all good to go. But the judge questioned it, said she had some very serious concerns. And then on top of that, are there still charges possible against him? Is there an investigation still underway? Now, the Biden White House and the Hunter team had tried to play that both ways. We cannot talk about it because there's still an investigation underway. But they didn't really want to bring that up in front of the judge. Well, they think the judge doesn't read and follow news to some extent. And even if she hadn't, that's a legitimate question. Before I grant you immunity, which might be full immunity from any additional charges, are there other cases pending? And the answer had to be from his attorneys, yes, there are other cases pending, yes. Well then, I can't accept it under this, giving them 30 days to put things together and come back. So Hunter Biden ends up having then to change his plea of guilty on the deal that had been arranged to not guilty. And while they're doing that, I will guarantee you members of the House investigating committees that are looking into Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and all the money, they are going to continue to ramp up other inquiries because they're not going to simply walk away from this. So we have at this point, we have Hunter Biden waiting in the wings trying to get his case put together. And we have now the special counsel going after members of Trump's maintenance man as his location, adding one of his aides who's basically a driver. Three new counts, a new defendant. All of this having to do with the handling of these classified documents and maybe wanting to erase tape and destroy something. Well, that brings us back to something else to remember. I know you recall the case. And it would involve, again, that woman again. That woman who always had an excuse for whatever was going on and said never should be held guilty of anything. And should have been president in her mind. Should have been president when Obama got elected. And certainly should have been a president when she was running against Trump, Hillary Clinton. Well, Chris Swecker, former FBI assistant director, saying, look at how these charges continue to pile up and fall down on top of Trump, adding more people under all of this, trying to make somebody feel some pressure. And compare that to the Hillary Clinton server issue.
Her team was under instructions from Congress to preserve those emails. A young man named Paul Combetta bleach bit 33,000 emails on that server while they were under orders to preserve that evidence. And he was given immunity. He lied to investigators first. They went back and re-interviewed him, and eventually it came out. Yet they passed on him. They gave him immunity. So the point is, low-level guy in the Clinton campaign destroys a substantial amount of evidence, nothing. A young man, a low-level person here that works in the hotel, is asked to destroy, if you believe the allegations, is asked to destroy the videotape, and it never gets accomplished. And they get indicted, and he gets indicted. So, you know, you can't help but realize there's a double standard here and a dual system of justice. It would take hours to make those contrasts between those types of investigations of people left of center versus those that are right of center, especially Trump.
Especially Trump. And in fact, one of them now being charged, you know what is the part of the indictment includes? He helped someone else with the staff move boxes. Move boxes. That's how thin line they're trying to get on the ice form they think they can put around Trump. It is extremely thin. But they're going to continue. And the timing again. Did they have this ready to go and activate it if the Hunter Biden deal was dismissed, as it were? Or were they going to maybe just ignore it? But then when that happened, well, we got to get attention back and put it back on Trump. Well, they did do that. But South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace says the pressure continues to build on the White House.
Well, Joe Biden should be getting nervous right now. The evidence is adding up. Thank goodness for the judge earlier this week that saw the plea deal for what it was. This guy should not have had a sweetheart plea deal in the middle of an investigation. We have Devin Archer coming in on Monday to do a transcribed interview. He'll talk about all of the times, dozens of times that Joe Biden was in the room via conference call, et cetera. Everything that Joe Biden has said about Hunter Biden and these business deals, it has turned out to be an absolute lie.
You want some examples? Let me give you a perfect one here. Hunter Biden admitted in court the other day, admitted that he had made more than $600,000 from that Chinese energy company. Now, let's go back to what Joe Biden said when he was debating Donald Trump in Nashville in 2020.
My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about, China. I have not had, the only guy made money from China is this guy. He's the only one. Nobody else has made money from China.
Just that guy, Trump, the other guy on the stage. Well, first of all, I thought Biden had also said continually, I don't know anything about the business. I have nothing to do. How would he know that his son hadn't made money if he didn't know something about the business? And even then, as it turns out, if you're going to believe Hunter Biden in court saying, yeah, I got more than $600,000 from them. Oh, well, maybe he lied to daddy. Maybe that's it. But I thought they never talked about business. Which story are we going to believe at what time? The Hunter Biden deal went down the drain because it was a scam from the beginning, in the words of John Ratcliffe, former director of national security.
The lawyers that are supposed to be on opposite sides were on the same side. The lawyers in that case all worked together to hide a blanket immunity agreement to protect Hunter Biden from the judge, and they got caught. And you saw that play out, and that's why this plea agreement fell apart. The Biden White House desperately wanted this plea agreement to go through. They wanted to be able to say, look, this was just a misdemeanor, and now it's time to move on. And instead, this case has been delayed, and in between, House Republicans are going to be able to conduct additional investigations. And you're one witness away from someone putting Joe Biden squarely in the middle of Hunter Biden's corrupt business dealings.
One witness away? Could that one witness be Devin Archer, who is, at last report, still scheduled to meet with congressional investigators next week, or members of Congress, I should say? They're basically going to be deposing him, getting some basic facts. It's not going to be in a full public session, not going to be viewed on TV or any audio until they get a better understanding of questions and answers they want, so then they can put their case together. Then they'll put him in front of everyone. At least that's the plan. On many reports, Devin Archer is in hiding. He may well be. And he's canceled on three different times. Did he cancel each of the other times because he was waiting for the Hunter Biden deal to be accepted by the judge and have that closed off so then he could come forward? And now will he come forward since the Hunter Biden deal is off the table? I want you to keep that in mind because this will be developing next week. And we have another congressional investigation. A subcommittee focusing on transgenders invading women's sports.
My teammates and I were forced to undress in the presence of Leah, a 6'4" tall biological male, fully intact with male genitalia, 18 times per week. Some girls opted to change in bathroom stalls, and others used the family bathroom to avoid this. When we tried to voice our concerns to the athletic department, we were told that Leah's swimming and being in our locker room was a non-negotiable, and we were offered psychological services to attempt to re-educate us to become comfortable with the idea of undressing in front of a male. To sum up the university's response, we, the women, were the problem, not the victims. We were expected to conform, to move over, and shut up.
Just shut up. Make room for Leah Thomas. That was Paula Scanlon during a House hearing yesterday, talking about how the university forced the women's team on the swimming team to share the same dressing room along with the transgender Leah Thomas. As she pointed out, a full-grown male with genitalia in our room, and some of the girls would go try to do it in a stall to change, but that was not the answer. I mean, the answer is, why are you allowing this to happen? Well, what we've gotten now with the woke culture, you've got to do it. So Scanlon, Paula Scanlon herself had been award-winning on the swim team prior to Leah Thomas showing up. So she decided to write a piece that then got picked up from the school paper and got published, and then everything went upside down again.
I wrote an op-ed for the Daily Pennsylvanian, the student-run newspaper. I approached this from a scientific, statistical perspective where I use my engineering background to discuss how Y chromosomes cannot be changed by any surgical procedure or systemic therapy. This biological fact lends itself to athletic advantages that cannot be mitigated by lowering testosterone levels, which are readily apparent in sports competitions and locker rooms. The Daily Pennsylvanian published my article on the evening of February 10th, 2022. Only a few hours later, my piece was retracted. I was given no notice nor reasoning. Again, I was silenced for my dissenting viewpoint and felt my First Amendment rights were denied by my university.
And they clearly were. They clearly were. She voiced her opinion. She got silenced. The article got pulled. The issue isn't resolved. But as you heard her say in her opening statement, when Leah Thomas joined the team, The university offered Paula Scanlon and her teammates psychological services to re-educate themselves to become comfortable dressing in front of a man, undressing in front of a man, who's also undressing in front of them. She was asked during the hearing, the university proposed at one time putting up barriers so you would actually have a little place. You don't have to go to a stall, but you'd have barriers separating their lockers. Would that be sufficient? And her answer was, why can't we use the locker rooms we've always used, the men's and the women's? If you're acknowledging we need protection and privacy from these men, then you're acknowledging that the locker rooms we've used are the correct ones. University of Pennsylvania, of course, close to the heart of Joe Biden and the Chinese, was just not going to allow female athletes to run a transgender out. And they weren't really trying to run the him, her, he, whatever out. They wanted to say, what about us? And that's the other part of this whole transgender issue. Gloria Steinem, women's movement, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, the hashtag Me Too movement, all of that is being thrown away, trashed, burned. Women of today, you've got to accept that if a man wants to undress in front of you or walk into your bathroom while you're in there, so be it. This is the kind of stuff that we, in the past, no one would have even considered. And yet, it's not just being considered, it's being imposed and shoved into the face of these young students. Now, again, you can say, Larry, of course, but you, this time they're gone past puberty, it shouldn't be that big of a shock to them. But the bottom line is, it's their opinion and their respected issue. Not what you think, not what I think. And certainly not that the university declares. But Scanlon says if you speak out, they come after you.
Today, any discussion maintaining the sanctity of women's spaces is labeled transphobic, bigoted, and hateful. What's bigoted and hateful is the discrimination against women and the efforts to erase women and our equal opportunities, dignity, and safe spaces. One might ask, why do I speak so passionately about issues that seem hypothetical, or some may perceive as only impacting a small number of women? This is not hypothetical. This is real. I know women who have lost roster spots and spots on the podium. I know of women with sexual trauma who are adversely impacted by having biological males in their locker room without their consent. I know this because I am one of these women. I was sexually assaulted on June 3rd of 2016. I was only 16 years old.
So she's carrying that burden. The university says, what? Get over it? Well, there was another testimony underway yesterday in Congress that had to do with UFOs. So coming up, my next guest, George Noory, host of Coast to Coast. And we've got even more, a full hour for you. Lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors, USA, Facebook.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Through the decades, there have been numerous stories and movies and jokes made about UFOs and flying saucers and little green men. But lately, there's been more and more evidence seen and documented that raises some very serious questions. And then this week, Congress held a committee hearing on UFOs, something you could never imagine would ever happen. One person has been in contact many times with people who have said repeatedly what they know about UFOs and where these things stand at this point and what they believe they are is George Norrie, host of Coast to Coast on more than 600 stations across the nation. George, glad to have you on board with us.
Larry, my pleasure. It was an amazing hearing. Did you have a chance to watch any of this?
I got to watch parts and then, of course, lifted some of the bites. And again, we're talking about they had three military veterans testifying. They're under the threat of perjury if they're lying, but they sat there and detailed what they knew.
And there are many, many more officers who have been angered for their careers because they've been restricted from saying anything or, you know, penalized or put down. Now it's all coming out. Everything we've been talking about on Coast to Coast over the last 20-some years, we're being vindicated. You know, I was told by Edgar Mitchell, Apollo 14 astronaut, he's not with us anymore, landed on the moon, walked on the moon. He said, George, we're being visited by extraterrestrials. I know this. And I said, Edgar, did you see anything when you were on the moon? He said, no, I did not. But he said, I have people in government who are telling me we're being investigated, we're being monitored by extraterrestrials, and we have been since the beginning of time. It's an amazing story.
Well, based upon that, one of those testifying was a former Air Force intel officer who claimed that they had recovered some non-human biology samples from alleged crash sites where apparently a UFO had gone down, and they get there and they recover what looked to be remains of something. But when they test it, it's non-biological as far as our human DNA that we know.
Yeah, you're talking about David Grush, the former intelligence officer, who really started a lot of this. And it's an amazing story. But he talked about biologicals that we have picked up from these extraterrestrials. You know, all the stories we've heard, Larry, all the rumors we've heard over the years have come true. And the government is finally coming forward with this. The big question is what are they doing? Why are they doing this? There are many people in Congress, if they believe this, think that there's some kind of malevolent ability of the ETs. I don't agree with that. I think if they've been visiting us since the beginning of time, if they're the reasons we're here, they may have seeded us. They could have done something to destroy us a long time ago. They never have, and I don't believe they ever will.
Now, of course, what you're saying, many would say, come on, you're really way out there. But then you put it against the testimony that was given Congress. You seem to be in sync.
There's no question about it. We are in sync. And I read a book when I was a kid. I was about 11 years old called We Are Not Alone by Walter Sullivan on the New York Times. And it was his theory that there's life within the universe. The universe is just teeming with other life. When you start to think about why are we here, how are we here in the universe, the abundance of planets that we keep seeing, you have to come up with the conclusion that there's more than this. There's an organization called SETI, very scientific, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. They send out and monitor signals from space, thinking that they're going to pick up an extraterrestrial signal, whatever it may be, and they keep monitoring that. That's an organization that originally was funded by NASA, but nobody knew about it.
when you talk about what we know and what we don't know, it's like, you know, once we had the microscope, we began to see cells that we didn't know exist, and then we get more investigative, and now we know there are numerous particles on our body, and you go to bed, and there are things already in your bed moving around. We don't see, didn't know they were there, but they've been there all that time. We just didn't have the expertise to find and locate and identify them. Would that equate to where we are now with the so-called UFOs?
Probably. And, you know, Larry, you and I have been out to dinner with some people that were convinced are extraterrestrials, haven't we?
Yeah, well, some I thought, yeah, they were far enough out. They were out there, yeah. And then there are others that, you're right, you listen to them, you think, it's pretty enthralling, but can you back it up?
But it makes you rethink a lot of things, too. I mean, somebody has asked me, what would you ask an alien on your radio show if you had a chance? My first question would be, not how did you get here, what do you think of us, but would you believe in God? Do you believe in God? I'd love to hear what that answer is. And I think the conclusion will be that there's more to the universe than we know. And it's all over the place. I mean, you look up at night on a starry night of all the stars and some of the planets that you can see, Jupiter and Mars when they're lit brightly. It's amazing. We are not alone.
I do know that I've had several pastors over my lifetime say, you really think God put all of his eggs in one basket? Now, that's one approach on it. The other approach that exists is that, well, we may have some things we need to find out, and if they're there, what are they doing, what their intent is? As you say, you don't think the intent is to harm us, but if they're not that and are with those, or might be foreign drones at some being developed by Russia, China, that are never really fully identified, and they're developing speeds and abilities we don't know about. That in itself is scary, much less from something from outer space.
That was the initial concern. The initial concern was, these aren't ours. Who owns them? What are they? Are they Russian? Are they Chinese? Are they Iranian? Are they North Korean? And the conclusion that most of these witnesses have said is they do not believe other nations possess this kind of technology. Or they would have used it by now in warfare or anything else. This is clearly, to me, technology from other planetary systems. I mean, there are some who speculate that we're dealing with other dimensions or other multi-universes, which is possible, but I truly believe we're dealing with something from other planetary systems that has had millions of years ahead of us in terms of technology, and they've learned how to travel in space by bending space and time. And I use an example to a lot of people that say, well, what do you mean by that, George? Take a piece of paper, put a dot on two ends of the paper, each end. How do you get from one dot to the other? They say, gee, we don't know. I said, fold it. So you fold the paper where the two dots hit each other, and that's what they're doing. They have learned how to travel through space by bending space and time, so they just appear. They're not traveling great distances. They're just appearing. That's why so many just blink off when people say they just disappeared. Where'd they go? They're bending space and time. They have technology that is far superior to us. But the other big issue, Larry, is, are we seated by them? Are they our gods? I do believe they believe that they have a god out there. But who seated them, and did they seed us? There's a theory by the late Zechariah Sitchin who believes that a group of extraterrestrials came here a long time ago because they needed to spread gold particles in their atmosphere to preserve it. That's possible. And that they saw what was on the planet, like Neanderthals, subhumans, basically, and genetically altered them and created us as workers. And that's an interesting theory. So it's entirely possible that everything we've heard about, stories in the Bible, everything like that, is based on fallen angels or really could have been extraterrestrials who came down here. It's all based on something like that. It truly is one of the greatest possibilities of life.
The other part of this story that's still hanging, and when the source was being, the former retired Air Force intel officer was being asked about these bodies that were not biological in the sense of what we know, and he said, well, I can't give you more details here. We'll have to do it in a skiff, suggesting that we're still not getting the entire story in transparency from the government.
They had, after the hearing, private meetings with the congressional members. Who knows what they told them? I kind of would have wished that Garish and his other two would have just come public with it right away. But
what would be keeping them from doing it?
Oh, they could be afraid of any fallout from government. Maybe they've signed non-disclosure agreements. Who knows what? But they did apparently tell the congressional members in closed doors what else was going on. And it's one of the greatest stories I think I've ever seen.
Well, I have to admit, I mean, it was the kind of thing that if you'd talked about even 5 years ago or less, and, oh, we're going to hold a congressional hearing on UFOs, no way. But here we are.
We knew this was going to happen. We felt it. We've been talking about it. We're vindicated. And we're going to get more and more information. This is not the beginning. This is not the end. It's starting, and we're going to get more information on this.
More chapters to come. George Norrie, host of Coast to Coast, 600 stations every night. And, George, I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Larry. Always a pleasure.
We'll do it again. George Norrie. You know, of course, a lot of folks also are talking about hot, hot, hot. It is hot. And there's one calculation that is staggering. I don't know that I'm going to believe what I'm going to tell you here shortly. But do you also blame CO2 emissions? One of the founders of Greenpeace says, not so fast. Don't be looking at CO2 as a reason for, quote, climate change and the heat we are now having. That story, still to come. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
One of my missions is to turn on its head the idea that carbon dioxide is a pollutant and somehow dangerous, when in fact it is the most important nutrient for all life on Earth, and without it this would be a dead planet. So I say not only is carbon dioxide good, it is essential. And it's a good thing that we are putting some more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere because it was running low before we came along.
That statement might surprise some. Many might immediately dismiss it. Many might applaud it. But the source might be even more surprising to some of you. That was Dr. Patrick Moore, one of the founders of Greenpeace, which is founded on the basis of environmental concerns, everything from whaling and killing the whales and to carbon dioxide emissions to anything else that might harm the planet or our trees, things of that nature. It has been the basis for basically setting up Al Gore and his Inconvenient Truth display and movie and everything he could rake in on pushing environmental concerns. And John Kerry doing the same thing now, flying around the world on his private jet, talking about we need to worry about the emissions from your car. And Joe Biden in the White House deciding we need to get rid of your gas stoves and your gas water heater while we're at it, because we must do that in this nation. And that if we do it in this nation, then we will solve all of the issues for the world when it comes to environmental damage. First of all, that's an absurd idea. If you don't have every nation doing exactly the same thing, it won't work. And even if you do all of that, we talked about this the other day, you get a forest fire as we had in Canada and all the smoke drifting down to the south and southeast into the U.S., there was more smoke, fog, emissions dispersed throughout that region of the Northeast than we've had in probably decades. But they still insist, no, we know what we're doing. Well, then why is somebody like Dr. Moore coming forward and making such a remark? He was doing an interview at that time with a British television group that basically is labeled as Energy Now and or Energy Live. And they were wanting to get a better handle on him as to why he thought the way he did now. And it was actually and still is somewhat contrary to the Greenpeace movement now. In fact, he wrote a book stating by the title Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout, The Making of Sensible Environmentalists. Now, that was back in 2010. We've had a lot happen since that time. But while he's been a leader in the international environment movement for more than 40 years, he says, as sensible environmentalists, we can find solutions that balance environmental, social, and economic priorities. Well, to that extent, aren't we being told constantly that if we do not shut down all fossil fuel usage, that we will create more CO2 damage, and it will in turn hurt the climate? Is that not true? And Dr. Moore has a response.
It may be a known greenhouse gas, but it's not known how strong it is in terms of changing the Earth's temperature. And so far in this century, there has been zero warming from a statistically significant basis, and the UK Met Office says so. Yet one-third of all human CO2 emissions have been put into the atmosphere in the last 18 years. So it doesn't look like a lockstep causal relationship between increasing CO2 and warming of the Earth.
Not a lockstep. Now, against that, we have this massive heat wave, not only in our nation, but around the world right now. I'm looking at a piece, and the claim itself is just, I have to admit, I dispute it just by gut. I don't have any scientific background. But when they make this claim, I have to say, how can you possibly state that? The University of Maine's Climate Reanalyzer, they're deciding now that this week, our globe, the Earth, broke an unofficial record for the hottest day in 120,000 years. They say we did it on three times, Monday, Tuesday, and just yesterday, according to the University of Miami analyst. Now, they are estimating and using observations over the past decade and even longer, showing some changes. They've had record keeping beginning back in the 1800s. It was fairly basic at that time. Now with computers, they can do more. And this is not that far off of our discussion earlier about UFOs and do they really exist? Things that we didn't know that are around our human body and in the air all the time that now we can see with special microscopes and things of that nature that you couldn't see before. The things you would see on Star Trek, waving a wand over somebody, seeing inside their body and their organs, and now routine, not just x-ray, but MRIs, CAT scans. So there's a lot of advances that suddenly reveal this has been there all along, but you had no way to know it and to see it. But how can they make a prediction that this is the hottest time in 120,000 years? Part of it is they're talking about it has not been this warm since the last ice age. They say that peaked about 125,000 years ago. Now, how would they know it hasn't been this warm? Well, if it had been this warm for 3 days, if we had 3 miles of ice on the planet, would 3 days of heat like this make all of it go away? I doubt it. That's my gut. It's not scientific. But the other thing is, I've always told you, I look at studies like that, and I say, you take a sesame seed and put it at the end of a yardstick, and that sesame seed represents all of mankind from the time man first set foot on this planet. Now, I'll leave it to you if you want to decide it's God creating Adam and Eve. I'm not trying to get into that argument discussion, but just look at when man appeared by what we've found from skeletal remains and things of that nature. That sesame seed would represent all of mankind. Everything else on that yardstick before you get to that sesame seed, we have no knowledge of what was here, what wasn't. Were there UFOs that came here then? Did they plant mankind, seed them, as my guest George Norrie was saying earlier, suggesting that many have said could be possible? Again, I don't have an understanding on that, nor the scientific background to argue one point or the other. But I just have a hard time accepting that they are now claiming that we're having the hottest weather in 120,000 years. So a question got asked of Dr. Moore in this interview. If you don't think that this really is a CO2-related thing, are you pushing for more fossil and coal plants?
No, I'm not, because we're putting plenty of CO2 into the atmosphere. We don't need to do it this quickly, but if we bring it up to a higher level than it is today, we will get immediately an increase in the growth of crops and trees, which is not a bad thing. In the long run, though, it doesn't matter if we bring it down quite a bit. And so that's why I'm supportive of nuclear energy and of natural gas. This tendency to go in the rich countries to wind and solar is a giant waste of money. Those wind farms will rust in place, and there is no fun to decommission them when they either wear out or we decide how ridiculous it is to spend so much money for so little electricity that isn't even reliable.
Isn't even reliable. But is that not what we're doing now? And we've already been told that these huge carbon blades used on the solar wind farms, that when they wear out, what are you going to do with them? Where are you going to put them? And then again, these communities are all liberal and all about it. They didn't want them off Martha's Vineyard. It would ruin our view from Martha's Vineyard. And at some point, we might have a way like hydrocarbon energy to run our cars and our vehicles. But right now, we don't. It would seem more common sense to take things step by step. And if Dr. Patrick Moore says there's nothing you're doing that says it's going to be the answer, then I'd ask, is the Biden White House listening? John Kerry, Al Gore, the rest of you climate enthusiasts, are you listening? Are you just pushing not real science again, but political science? Dr. Moore says, really, when you come down to it, there's just no linkage.
Look, if we had definitive proof that CO2 was causing serious problems and we could prove it, don't you think they would write that down on a piece of paper somewhere so people could read it? They don't have definitive proof, period, in science. I'm a student of the philosophy and history of science, and I know that the scientific method has not been applied in such a way as to prove that carbon dioxide is causing the Earth to warm.
Do you think in a few years, say 50 years from now, people go, that was a really stupid period in our history when we tried to change all our energy policies to cut this gas?
I am firmly of the belief that the future will show that this whole hysteria over climate change was a complete fabrication.
I love it. Experts can disagree. Who has the facts? Who has the real facts? Who has the political facts? And of course, every time there's some kind of environmental shakeup, it's got to be CO2, and we've got to change our lives. Such as had a Yosemite fire that immediately climate alarmists started blaming on climate change. Turned out to be arson. A 70-year-old man in California set the fire. Well, maybe climate change made him do it. What do you think? Coming up, Tucker Carlson admits he's surprised that one man sat down to give him an interview. Who is it?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So why would you be doing this of all interviews? I mean, you could do an interview with anyone. You're doing an interview with me. Obviously, you're going to take abuse for doing that. Like, why would you do that?
Because I think it's silly not to talk to people. I think whether we agree or not,
right,
that has nothing to do with it. You know, it's like, this is what it's all about. Let's talk about it. Let's debate. And you know, I've been shut
Wait,
out.
That sounds like right-wing extremism and whataboutism.
Whataboutism. That was Tucker Carlson. The interview subject was the rapper Ice Cube. Now, there's an Ice T. You should not get them mixed up. Some might, but Ice Cube. He was born O'Shea Jackson. And, of course, he's better known as Ice Cube, the American rapper and songwriter and film producer. They had his lyrics in the 1988 album Straight Outta Compton that contributed to, many say, gangsta rap's widespread popularity. And his political rap solo albums, America's KKKA's Most Wanted, Death Certificate, The Predator. He was inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the NWA in 2016. He's a native of Los Angeles. And some of the rap from him and others related to him often talk about attacking police and maybe even innocent people. But in this interview with Tucker Carlson, he spent a lot of time talking about how things are seen by some and how really we should be looking at them. I'm going to let you hear more of that interview coming up in our second hour. I think it's worth getting a little insight from someone that maybe you would not want to hear from, you think. Well, then maybe that's where you first start. You know, if someone you don't want to hear from, maybe that's the person you should be listening to. You don't have to agree, but get an understanding. That's pretty much what he was saying. And also talking about how many times he's faced cancel culture. Blocked out, mainly because they thought he had become maybe a little bit too conservative. He even said Oprah Winfrey would not allow him on her show anymore. As The View. The View canceled him because they just felt like maybe he's becoming a little bit too right of center. They don't even want you center and certainly right of center, they're going to definitely turn around and walk away from you at that point. If you think there's only one answer to everything and there's only one person you should go to, you need to broaden your horizons. I do appreciate you listening and sharing with others. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.